Japan calls on China to immediately stop its military drills around Taiwan. A foreign policy expert urges the Philippine government to prepare a strategy for Filipinos living in Taiwan in case tensions there rise further. We'll speak with the chairman of the Manila Economic and Cultural Office, Silvestre Bello III. Philippine inflation rises to 6.4% in July. And the U.S. declares monkeypox as a public health emergency. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Topping the midday news, Japan calling on China to cease its military drills around Taiwan. Beijing has fired missiles near Taipei in response to the recent visit of U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to the self-ruled island. Tokyo says five ballistic missiles launched by China fell into Japan's exclusive economic zone, prompting it to launch a diplomatic protest. Pelosi has since arrived in Japan, the last stop of her Asia tour. The United States also urging China not to overreact to Pelosi's Taiwan trip.
We do not believe it is in our interest, Taiwan's interest, the region's interest, to allow tensions to escalate further, which is why a long-planned Minuteman III ICBM test scheduled for this week has been rescheduled for the near future. As China engages in destabilizing military exercises around Taiwan, the United States is demonstrating instead the behavior of a responsible nuclear power by reducing the risks of miscalculation and misperception.
China's military drills are scheduled to last until Sunday. The maneuvers are taking place along some of the world's busiest shipping routes. Warnings have been issued to ships to avoid the areas being used for the exercises. Taiwan says 18 international flight routes have also been disrupted. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations also calling for maximum restraint. ASEAN foreign ministers warn rising tensions in the Taiwan Strait could lead to open conflict and unpredictable consequences among major powers. They stress the regional bloc stands ready to play a constructive role in facilitating peaceful dialogue between all parties. ASEAN ministers are meeting in Cambodia this week. As for Taiwan, it says it's now preparing for a possible conflict. Taipei's defense ministry says the military is closely monitoring unprecedented Chinese drills taking place in waters surrounding the island, but it asserts it will never seek war. The Philippines expressing concern as well over the rising tensions in the Taiwan Strait. In a statement, the Foreign Affairs Department urged all parties to exercise restraint. It also reiterated the Philippines will adhere to the One China policy. National Security Advisor Clarita Carlos also saying the Philippines will stay neutral on the issue since China and the U.S. are both allies.
We will just continue engaging with both parties, with both actors. And the president has declared that repeatedly that we will engage critically and constructively with both China and the U.S.
Carlos hopes the U.S.-China conflict will not be the only issue that will be discussed in the upcoming visit of U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken to the Philippines. Blinken will meet President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. this weekend.
Dami naman nilang levels of cooperation dapat eh. Climate change, protection of the environment, maritime security. Ang dami-daming levels talaga ng cooperation na pwede nilang gampanan, no? So, bakit yung conflict ang nagiging, ang nananaig?
With tensions escalating over Taiwan, a foreign policy expert says the status of the 160,000 Filipinos living there is a matter of national concern. Professor Renato De Castro now urges the Philippine government to prepare a national security strategy. That's as he believes the Duterte administration's pivot to China was a failure.
The pivot simply failed. This is simply a case of unrequited love on the part of our former president. By the end of his term, he started to realize the importance of the alliance, ending the termination process of the visiting forces agreement in July 2021 after meeting U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Then in November 2021, the Philippines and the United States signed the joint vision for the alliance in the 21st century.
Moving on, as expected, the Philippine inflation further accelerated in July, driven by the continued increase in food and transport prices. The consumer price index quickened to 6.4% for the month, faster than the 6.1% recorded in June, and the highest reading since the rice crisis of 2018. It's also at the top end of the Philippine Central Bank's forecast range. The Davao region logged the largest uptick in inflation at 8.6%, while Metro Manila saw its inflation slow down to 5.1%. The BSP recognizes the broadening of price pressures amid the emergence of second-round effects, including the approved wage and fare hikes. It says the interest rate hikes it implemented these past months should help moderate inflation expectations moving forward. Most recently, the BSP fired off a surprise 75 basis point rate hike in July, raising the benchmark interest rate to 3.25%. Fitch Ratings expects the central bank to stay on the tightening cycle.
We are really looking at 4% by next year. You say that, yes, it has increased 125 basis points in a pretty short time. But if you take a step back and look at the bigger picture, it was 4% at the end of 2019. So we are really only slightly more than halfway towards normalizing the price of money.
The Bank of England implements its biggest rate hike since 1995 as it fights soaring inflation in the UK. The BOE raised its benchmark interest rate by 50 basis points to 1.75%. It was the sixth straight hike by the central bank as it reiterates its commitment to bring inflation under control. The BOE also unveiled a grim outlook for the British economy.
CPI inflation is now expected to peak at just over 13% in Q4 of this year and to remain at very elevated levels throughout much of 2023. The bulk of that further increase reflects higher wholesale prices feeding through to retail energy prices. Now, this rise in energy prices has exacerbated the fall in real incomes and so led to another significant deterioration in the outlook for activity in the UK and in the rest of Europe. GDP growth in the UK has slowed and the economy is now forecast to enter recession later this year.
Inflation in Britain jumped to a four-decade high of 9.4% in June, deepening the cost of living crisis in the UK as wages fail to keep pace. Back here at home, the joint foreign chambers of the Philippines slams a veto of a measure seeking to create the Philippine Transportation Safety Board. JFC, together with the Safe Travel Alliance and the International Air Transport Association, say they are disappointed by the president's move. JFC points out, at present, different agencies handle different transport sectors when it comes to accident investigations. But it notes there are limitations on the ability of those agencies in terms of investigating accidents. It adds, since most of those agencies are also tasked to regulate the sector, there is a conflict of interest in their duties as an investigating body. The Philippine Tourism Department now working with concerned agencies after an overpricing incident on Bohol's Virgin Island went viral. Jeff Canoy with the full story.
This is what Virgin Island in Banglao, Bohol looks like now after the issue of alleged overpriced goods for tourists went viral on social media. Gone are the stalls and structures in the area. A stark contrast from the images of tourist Eulalio Colubio, who was part of the group of 13 that paid some 25,000 pesos, or about $450 US, for meals in the destination during their trip last July, and who posted complaints on social media.
More than 10 or 20 na table ng display doon, mahaba kasi yung sunbar. So, yun, nagkanya-kanyang display. Pero doon kami pinapunta sa pinakaunang table. Yung nagdala sa amin na bangka. Umabot po ng 26,100. Tapos, pinatawad kami ng 1,100. So, naging 25K lahat.
In response to the complaint, the Bohol government has launched an investigation into the matter. According to Governor Aris Omentado, they want tourism standards to be met in the area to protect tourists, vendors, and the public. The Panglao government had earlier ordered an immediate temporary closure of the area for vendors, although sightseeing and island hopping is still allowed. According to the Philippine Tourism Department, they have also launched their own probe and is currently in talks with other agencies on the standardization of pricing for goods in the destination.
I have directed the formation of a technical working group composed of various agencies of government for purposes of discussing the implementation of standards, including the standardization of the pricing of goods in this destination. Facilitate po tayo ng discussion among the government agencies so that we can come up with a proactive solution to ensure na yung overall tourist experience natin in these destinations is really upheld.
The secretary adds the standards for provision of tourist goods will be applicable to other destinations in the country.
If we are able to come together to agree on certain standards that our destinations would comply with, then this will redound to the overall improvement of our tourism industry. Kasi po, in the end, magiging masaya din po yung ating mga turista kasi they will be assured na yung experience nila na destination and hindi sila ma-overprice.
The agency has also tasked its regional office to provide training to frontline tourism workers and other stakeholders to protect the overall tourist experience in Panglao Island. Jeff Canoy, ABS-CBN News.
The overpricing controversy in Bohol's Virgin Island has led to fewer tourists going there. Annie Perez now joins us on the line to tell us more. Annie, over to you.
Yes, Carmina, we are currently here now at Virgin Island in Panglao and we're seeing still a lot of tourists who are visiting the sandbar. But in contrary to what we have seen in the previous weeks and months where there are a lot of food stalls and people are here eating in the area, right now tourists are just limited to picture taking and sightseeing. There are still some who are swimming, but they're having a hard time since it's low tide. It's a very different scenario from what the sandbar or Virgin Island used to look like in the previous months. Right now, the only open island for tourism activities such as snorkeling and sailing is Malikasag Island, and we also visited that area there. The Coast Guard is on alert and making sure that all the standards are also met. But some tourists have expressed that they are quite disappointed because they were expecting that they can avail of the food stalls and having their meals here at Virgin Island because some of them booked their tickets months earlier during some airline seat sales, and they were really looking forward to that kind of experience. But as they say, it's a lesson learned after the complaints was launched in social media, and now they're just taking their time here, taking pictures and savoring the moment here in Virgin Island. Right now, we're with the provincial government. We're also inspecting and making sure that no falls came back to the sandbar as it has been ordered closed, and there are also talks that they will continue and make permanent this step up that no stalls will be allowed and no tourism activities will be allowed in Virgin Island, just pure sightseeing, picture taking for tourists, and regulations for the island hopping will also be in place as they continue their meetings, both the local government and other stakeholders here in Bohol. And that's the latest from Central Visayas. Carmina, Annie Perez, ABS-CBN News.
Well, Annie, just a couple of questions for you. I mean, we know that, you know, people are still planning to go to Bohol, even with that viral complaint. But the Bohol local government now acting on that. They want to make sure that tourism continues to pour into the area. But how long do you think before they can institutionalize the plan to, you know, bring back the vendors with standard rates for what they're sending? Because, of course, they don't want to have this kind of a situation be prolonged, Annie.
They didn't actually give us a time frame, the officials and the local government of Panglao and also the provincial government. But they have been telling us that every night, every day, they have been conducting meetings with stakeholders because the issue is a quite big because it also involves the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, considering that this area is also a protected area and some of the islands also in Panglao. So what they are telling us is that they are fast-tracking the regulation and the other standards to be met, especially that the national government, the Department of Tourism, has also stepped in to make sure that adequate training and seminars can be given to tour operators and even the vendors who will be displaced. Initially, the local government has planned to transfer them to a plaza to make a street night market tag, but as of the moment, they are still in the works to talk to wherever they will be placed and how fast also that they can put up the displaced vendors who are still at the mainland at the moment, also trying to make a living and not in the island itself. Fermina.
Thanks a lot. Annie Pettis there joining us on the line. Take care, Annie, and you keep safe. And from there, we're going to take a quick break. Up ahead, the U.S. declares monkeypox a public health emergency. Details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Keep it here on ANC. And we're back. There's still a Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Japan calls on China to immediately stop its military drills around Taiwan. A foreign policy expert urges the Philippine government to prepare a strategy for Filipinos living in Taiwan in case tensions there rise further. Philippine inflation rises to 6.4% in July. And the U.S. declares monkeypox as a public health emergency. The second day of the wake of former President Fidel V. Ramos opens to foreign diplomats and members of the business community. Our very own Sherian Torres joins us from the Heritage Park in Taguig with an update. Sher, over to you.
Hi, Carmina. A brigade of uniformed personnel coming from the Philippine Navy, Air Force, Army, and Philippine National Police conducted a state funeral rehearsal this morning in relation to the interment of former President Fidel Ramos on Tuesday, August 9. Honor guards numbering to more than 100 rehearsed every detail of the activity, from the carrying of the casket, walk towards the hearse, playing of the national anthem, up to their would-be march to the libingan ng mga bayani. Army spokesperson Colonel Circes Trinidad says the interment of Ramos's remains, or FBR to many, will be simple but solemn as the family wishes. Only the family will follow the hearse straight to the libingan ng mga bayani, and those who wish to witness the interment will have to go straight to the Heroes Cemetery. Meantime, members of the diplomatic corps, business community, and civil society organizations continue to arrive here at the main chapel for FBR's wake. Among the early visitors here include Ambassador to the Philippines Mary Kay Carlson, Taiwanese Representative to the Philippines Michael Pei Yung Su, and Chinese Ambassador to the Philippines Wang Zilian, but all three did not issue any statement. Former Senator Ramon Magsaysay Jr., Philippine Chamber of Commerce and Industry President George Barcelon, former Tourism Secretary Berna Romulo Puyat, and Senator Risa Ontiveros were also here. And here's a portion of what Ontiveros said about FBR.
Nagpupugay ako sa maraming positibong iniwang pamana ni dating Presidente FBR sa ating lipunan, lalong-lalo na po yung pagkakataong magbuo ang civil society noon ng social reform agenda at lumahok kasama ng pamahalaan sa Social Reform Council. Yung isang lagi kong maalala sa kanya na lahat po kaming nagtatrabaho sa gobyerno hanggang ngayon ay dapat isabuhay din. Yung kanilang insistence on CSW, complete staff work, na dapat pagdating namin sa trabaho, kami po'y handa, kompleto ang lahat ng pangangailangan para aming maganap ang aming tungkulin. At kasama ng aking mga panalangin para sa kanilang kaluluwa at mahigpit na yakap sa kanyang pamilyang nagluluksa sa ngayon.
Carmina, visiting hours for the said officials will be only be up to 2:30 in the afternoon, to be followed by the expected visit of a journalist who have covered the FVR as a soldier, as a cabinet member, president, and even as a simple citizen, Eddie. At 5 in the afternoon today, there will be an inter-service faith in celebration to the life of FVR, and this will be followed by the tribute of different sectors to the 12th President of the Philippines. And while tomorrow will be allotted to the former colleagues and friends of FVR from the military and civic organization sectors, Sunday and Monday will be allotted to the public to see FVR for the last time. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Sherian Torres there joining us live. And back here in the newsroom, former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte vows to defy the International Criminal Court in its probe into his administration's bloody war on drugs. Duterte spoke after visiting the wake of the late President Ramos. He insists the ICC does not have jurisdiction over him.
I am a Filipino. If I will be prosecuted, it will be a prosecutor who is a Filipino. If I have to be judged, it will be a Filipino judge. And if I go to prison, I should go to Muntinlupa. Nobody but nobody else can sa akin. It has to be our or within our jurisdiction.
Duterte declined to comment on the decision of President Marcos for the Philippines not to rejoin the ICC. Well, the new head of the Philippine poll body in favor of conducting village and youth council elections in December as scheduled. Commission on Elections Chairman George Garcia says the changing of local leaders is important, but he admits the decision will ultimately be up to Congress. Some lawmakers have filed bills seeking to postpone the vote and use the 8 billion peso election budget instead for pandemic response programs.
Kami sa pamilit, whether may posibilidad na tumuloy o maaari hindi, kami po'y maghahanda. Huwag po kayong mag-alala, yung mga kababayan po natin. Hindi po namin mawawaldas ng mababaliwala ang gagastusin namin sa initial preparation. Handa po kami kasi napakahirap naman po kung biglang magkatuluyan tapos wala kaming pinaghandaan, kami po ang dapat yung sisihin sa ganon. Kaya lang po, kami po talaga nakikiusap yan na sana po mapaagal lang ang magiging desisyon kung magtutuloy o hindi upang kahit paano naman po makapag-proceed din kami sa iba naming gagawin.
Garcia also hopes his second confirmation process will go smoothly this time around so he can implement what he deems are necessary election reforms. He was initially bypassed by the Commission on Appointments when he was appointed as Kamala Commissioner by then President Rodrigo Duterte.
Napaka-importante po na yung mga batas na umiiral sa atin sa kasalukuyang patungkol sa halalan ay i-revisa, tingnan, i-amend at i-review mabuti. Kung halimbawa, patungkol po sa issue ng vote buying, epektibo pa ba yung batas natin sa vote buying o talagang napakalaki ng loopholes upang nakakaligtas ang mga gumagawa nito? Katulad po ng ating Omnibus Election Code na ito'y 1985 pa po, circa 1985. Ito po ba'y kakayanin pang maiisa katuparan ng isang malinis at maayos na halalan?
In other news, monkeypox now a public health emergency in the U.S. The move frees up new funds and allows the deployment of additional personnel in the fight against the disease. The declaration comes as nationwide cases topped 6,600 on Thursday. But experts believe the real number could be much higher. Some 600,000 vaccine doses have so far been delivered, far short of the approximately 1.6 million people considered at high risk for monkeypox.
The initial science led us to believe, and this I think will answer your question a little bit, based on recent past monkeypox outbreaks, that those doses would be sufficient to meet the needs of the country as what we knew at that time, because it's dynamic, it's changing. And so, but however, infectious diseases are dynamic, as I just said, and unpredictable, inherently unpredictable, which is why as soon as we saw that this outbreak was different and transmitting much more rapidly, we quickly moved to order tens of thousands of more doses.
The World Health Organization already designated the outbreak a global health emergency last month, something it reserves for diseases of the highest concern. COVID cases in the Philippines hit a six-month high. 4,439 cases were recorded Thursday, and of that number, 1,428 were from Metro Manila. The positivity rate also rising to 18.4%. The ABS-CBN News Data Analytics team says the healthcare utilization rate in Metro Manila has increased to 40%. That's its highest level since late January. And take a break now. Still ahead, U.S. basketball star Brittney Griner sentenced to 9.5 years in prison by a Russian court. Mind that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on AMC. And we're back, going back to one of our top stories. Philippine inflation rose to 6.4%, with food and transportation as the main drivers. Our very own Warren de Guzman now joins us to tell us more. Warren, over to you.
Good afternoon, Carmina. Inflation hit 6.4% in July, the highest since October 2018. The Philippine Statistics Authority reported food inflation was the main driver alongside transport. National statistician Undersecretary Dennis Mapa highlighted four particular products: chicken, fish, bread and other baked goods, and sugar. Mapa noted that fish and sugar prices rose due to supply problems, with the local sugar production in particular falling in the second quarter. The PSA, meanwhile, attributed higher prices of bread and baked goods to logistics problems stemming from the Ukraine-Russia conflict's impact on global trade. Mapa also said there was an interesting observation regarding chicken, and chicken prices has risen alongside a decline in product quality. Mapa said that there was a decline in weight of dressed chicken, even as prices were up year on year. Dressed chicken was up 29% year on year, for example, in the National Capital Region. He also said that inflation, the direction of inflation in general, continues to be upward, and that could mean a continued pain for all consumers, likely until the end of 2022. He did, however, note that the holiday demand kick in inflation won't likely happen until the end of the year or December, citing that in the last 4 years, September, October, and November, there was no increase or acceleration in inflation, only until December. That's when he observed that. The 6.4% inflation rate for July pushes the Philippines to the near top of the list of major ASEAN economies alongside Thailand and Singapore. Inflation across ASEAN is rising, again reflecting the global impact of logistics and commodity supply problems caused by the Ukraine-Russia war. Transport inflation continued to be a problem, with July's inflation rate also reflecting recent fare hikes. June Neri, lead economist for BPI, agrees inflation will likely continue to accelerate, and the BSP will thus continue to its policy adjustments accordingly. The July inflation rate was actually at the top end of the Philippine Central Bank's forecast range of 5.6 to 6.4%. The BSP says it continues or remains to be prepared to utilize monetary policy tools to keep inflation in check and anchored. And Central Bank Governor Felipe Medalla already actually on numerous occasions very specifically said that the August 18 rate-setting meeting will likely produce a 25 to 50 basis point hike. Socioeconomic Planning Secretary Arsenio Balisacan, meanwhile, says their plan is to mitigate the impact on inflation on the most vulnerable families, citing the approval of a 4.1 billion peso fund release for targeted cash transfers. And for the long term or medium term, Balisacan says they want to support the local farm sector to boost local food supply. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Warren de Guzman there joining us on the line. Back here in the newsroom, heavy rains caused severe flooding in Cebu Thursday night. Families had to be evacuated in various parts of the province, including Mandaue City, Tisa, Consolacion, and Cebu City, where one man was found dead. The victim is believed to have drowned as a river overflowed. Motorists were also stranded in Toledo City and Lapu-Lapu. Pag-asa says the heavy downpour that hit nearly the whole Metro Cebu was due to a low-pressure area spotted off Gian, Eastern Samar. A low-pressure area spotted off the coast of Quezon Province is expected to bring rains over parts of Luzon, including Metro Manila. Let's get an outlook on the weather now from ABS-CBN's resident meteorologist Ariel Rojas. Ariel, over to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Carmina. It's going to be a wet weekend in most parts of the country due to the low-pressure area and the habagat it enhances. Our kapamilya will have to watch out for flooding and landslides. And at 10 this morning, the LPA was over the coastal waters of Mauban, Quezon. It will move northwestward today, crossing the Calabarzon, Central Luzon area. The LPA and monsoon rains will affect today Metro Manila, Cagayan Valley, Ifugao, Mountain Province, Benguet, La Union, Pangasinan, Central Luzon, Calabarzon, Mimaropa, Bicol Region, and Western Visayas. Intense thunderstorms in the afternoon are also expected over the rest of Ilocos Region, Cordillera, and Visayas, and almost the entire Mindanao. Tomorrow, Saturday, the LPA will be over the West Philippine Sea, where it may develop into a tropical depression, and on Sunday, it will continue to move away from the country. Monsoon rains will continue to batter Pangasinan, Central Luzon, Metro Manila, Calabarzon, Mimaropa, Bicol Region, Western Visayas, Sulu Archipelago, and Zamboanga Peninsula this weekend, while intense thunderstorms are also expected in Eastern Visayas and the rest of Mindanao. Here in Metro Manila, Saturday will be wetter, while Sunday will have overcast skies and less rain. That's the latest on the weather. This is Ariel Rojas. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Ariel Rojas, there joining us live. Take care and keep safe, Ariel. World news now. Taliban leaders in Afghanistan unconvinced about the reported killing of Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri. The Taliban says it will investigate U.S. claims that Zawahiri was killed by a drone attack in his hideout in the capital, Kabul. Zawahiri was a key figure in the September 11, 2001 attacks on the United States. His death in Kabul puts pressure on the Taliban leadership, who had assured the U.S. it will not harbor militants. U.S. basketball star Brittany Griner sentenced to 9.5 years in prison by a Russian court. Griner was found guilty of smuggling and possessing a significant amount of narcotics. The 31-year-old was arrested in February after she was found carrying vape cartridges with cannabis oil in her luggage. U.S. President Joe Biden has released a statement calling the sentence unacceptable. He also reiterated that he would explore every avenue to repatriate Griner. Griner's trial accelerated in recent days as Washington and Moscow discussed a potential prisoner swap. The highest-profile Russian prisoner in the U.S. is arms trafficker Victor Belt, dubbed the Merchant of Death. More details emerge on the metal sheet found in Negros Occidental, which the Philippine Space Agency has confirmed to be part of a Chinese rocket. The agency is calling on the public to immediately report other suspicious debris spotted at sea or land. Bianca Dava reports.
The Philippine Space Agency confirms that the torn metal sheets found off the coast of Occidental Mindoro were part of China's Long March 5B rocket. Last July 26th, fishermen discovered the rocket debris in the West Philippine Sea, over 100 miles from Mamburao. The wreckage had Chinese markings, including the Chinese flag. PhilSA identified the debris to be part of the rocket's payload fairing. The agency explained a rocket's booster drops shortly after a launch, followed by its payload fairing. Its core stage falls later.
In large metal sheet came from the fairing. Rocket fairing of the drop zone. So mag-iba to dun sa parang falling debris na nakita sa Malaysia. So this yung rocket fairing na tinatawag natin. Ito po yung na-discard, nahulog noong 24 July, moments after the launch itself. So yun po yung na-recover ng PCG.
These discarded rocket stages are usually designed and planned to shed over specific drop zones. The drop zones are usually bodies of water and are selected to minimize the hazards of falling onto populated areas.
PhilSA officials said China notified authorities before the launch, but were not informed that the rocket's components would drop over the country's airspace.
It's really difficult to predict saan mabagsak yun, no? Even the most powerful computers will have a difficult time predicting saan babagsak yung debris na yon. But we do monitor yung trajectory right before bumagsak sa atin. So we do know kung saan siya possibly
bumagsak. But then again, to exactly where, we don't know. It's pretty hard to predict. But we did get notice during launch.
Earlier, PhilSA said some debris have also reportedly fallen over the Sulu Sea near Palawan. The agency added these could possibly be parts of the rocket's core stage, which were also found in Malaysia. PhilSA advised the public to immediately inform local authorities about suspected debris spotted at sea or land.
PhilSA reiterates its earlier advice to the public to immediately inform local authorities or suspected debris sighted at sea or land. PhilSA cautions everyone against retrieving or coming in close proximity to these materials, since fallen rocket debris may contain remnants of toxic substances such as rocket fuel.
The fishermen from Occidental Mindoro turned over the rocket debris to the Philippine Coast Guard Mamburao on August 2nd.
We'll eventually turn it over sa Philippine Space Agency. Tinurn over ito do sa Philippine Coast Guard Mamburao after the debris were taken 27 nautical miles northeast of Busuanga, Palawan. Hinihintay lang namin kung dadalhin dito sa headquarters. At kami naman, together with the other debris na tinurn over sa amin noon, would be i-handover naman namin sa Philippine Space Agency. Hindi pa namin natignan kung may security implications ito. And we'll give way or we defer to the National Security Council to assess kung meron itong national security implications.
ABS-CBN News tried reaching out to the National Security Council for comment, but they have yet to respond. Bianca Dava, ABS-CBN News.
In sports, the son of Philippine boxing legend Manny Pacquiao, Jimwell, continues to make a name for himself as an amateur fighter in the U.S. Our North America Bureau correspondent Steve Angeles now joins us with details. Steve, what more can you tell us?
Yes, Carmina, the latest installment of 360 Promotions Hollywood Fight Night started with a bang as Jimwell Pacquiao defeated Dylan Merrickin via decision. Pacquiao unleashed several combinations while showing power in his lead left hook throughout the 3 2-minute rounds. Pacquiao, who now has a 4-1 amateur record, earned a special WBC amateur championship belt. While the Montebello Country Club was packed with Team Pacquiao supporters, Jimwell's biggest fans were watching him live for the first time. His mother, Jinky, and sisters, Princess and Queenie, were ringside cheering him on. For Jinky, who had been ringside for much of Manny Pacquiao's legendary boxing career, she says she gets a little more nervous watching her son fight. This is the first time Jimwell has actually been with his family in nearly a year as he has been training and focused on his boxing career in the U.S. The family says they're not only proud of the 21-year-old's boxing accomplishments so far, but are also happy about his growth as a young adult. Carmina?
All right, Steve, of course you're talking about the son, but what does the father have to say? Has former Senator Manny Pacquiao given his nod for Jimwell to, you know, eventually go professional?
I haven't gotten his reaction yet or haven't heard from his reaction yet for this latest fight, but he's been, you know, at first the family was all, they didn't want him to get into boxing. They know how hard it is, but, you know, lately they've been showing more and more support. It seems like they're confident that he's in good hands. And, you know, knowing the staff behind Jimwell and the fact he's training a wild card, you know, it seems like he is being well taken care of. He's being very focused. So, you know, it looks like they're more and more warming up to the idea of him fighting. As far as whether, you know, he'll stick around the amateurs or go pro or even look at the Olympics, that's yet to be determined. He's been... you know, each fight, he's kind of telling me he's taking it one step at a time, one by one. He understands he started late in life compared to other boxers. But, I mean, he's enjoying the ride and kind of learning along the way as he goes.
But what do boxing analysts say about his potential to become a champion like his father?
You know, so far, all the other boxing media that's been watching him, we've been growing more and more impressed with his skills. He does show improvement each fight. He shows a lot of power. You know, kind of the things that reminds us of his dad a little, you know, kind of his hand speed, his combinations, especially the day his lead left hook was really very impressive, actually. So a lot of people have high hopes for him. He actually draws a big crowd with him whenever he's available to the media. A few of us, you know, came out tonight to watch him and, you know, just to see him live. And we're very impressed with his progress so far through these first five fights.
All right. Thanks a lot. Steve Angeles there joining us via Zoom. Nice to see you again, Steve. Take care and you keep safe. Well, switching gears now, many businesses in Toronto are taking advantage of Filipino summer festivals to promote their products and recover from their losses during the pandemic. Christine Santos with that story.
Now that Filipino summer festivals are back, small businesses in Toronto are seizing the opportunity to sell their products in person and revitalize their operations after the two-year COVID lockdown. One of them is Ihalo Crunch, Toronto's first charcoal ice cream. Their business started in 2017 and was gaining momentum when the pandemic halted their expansion and put a hold on over 500 franchise requests. They're glad they stuck it out and are now finding the festivals a huge help in promoting their brand.
People are really coming out for the first time in, you know, 2 years of being under lockdown, so they're really supporting small businesses, especially a Filipino festival where everyone recognizes Ube, they might recognize the brand, and it's extremely helpful. We really wanted to bring Filipino flavors to the masses, but we wanted to do it in a really fun and palatable way. Ice cream solves everything, which is our trademark. That's the notion that we give back to different not-for-profits that support kids every month.
Other Filipino food businesses also hope the festivals will help them recoup their losses and remind their customers that they are still around.
Nandito kami ngayon para makabawi sa loss namin nung kami nasa kalagitnaan ng hirap. Ang hirap. At least masaya kami sa mga binibigay nilang mga event at pinapayagan kami na magkaroon ng ganito kasi hindi naman kami natulungan ng government. So, kasi first time namin nung ano na hindi kami allowed na makakuha ng funds.
Since 1999. And ever since every year, we've been involved into a Filipino events like this. If I used to make $5,000 a week sales, I don't. Probably like $1,000, $1,500, $2,000. That's how severe it is for me. This is like a wake up again. Hey, we are still here.
Some new businesses joined the Fun Philippines Festival in an effort to promote their products that help the environment and create livelihood for Filipinos back home.
This is actually our first Filipino festival. The reason that we're here is because we have a lot of Filipino customers, and actually my grandma is Filipino, and we just want to bring more mobility, ways for people to get around the city, more sustainable, more green ways for people to travel.
Actually, we're doing this to give extra, what do you call that one, trabaho, back home at saka dito sa Canada. Kasi sa Pilipinas, nagpo-purchase tayo ng mga gamit, ng mga bags para mabigyan din natin ng hanap buhay yung mga kababayan natin. At the same time here in Canada, yung mga marunong magtahe, magkabit ng lining, we're giving them the opportunity para magkaroon din ng extra income.
Booth vendors are not the only ones that benefit from festival activities, but also businesses in the vicinity.
Kaya dahil bumalik ulit ang festival dito sa Wilson and Butters, puno po yung salon namin, kaya masaya. Mas dumami ang tao talaga. Approximately, lahat ng mga kasama ko kumita, lahat kami. 90% higher.
More Filipino festivals are scheduled to take place in the GTA this summer. An opportunity not only for people to embrace the culture, but also help support local businesses and boost the economy. Christine Santos, ABS-CBN News, Toronto.
Before we go, the Joker sequel is going gaga. International pop star Lady Gaga has confirmed her casting in the sequel of the DC film opposite Joaquin Phoenix. Reports say Lady Gaga could play the role of Joker's sidekick, Harley Quinn. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. Right, we were supposed to speak with the chairman of the Manila Economic and Cultural Office, Silvestre Belu III, regarding government's plans for Filipinos in Taiwan in case tensions there escalate further. Unfortunately, Belu was caught in traffic and could not do the interview. And so we end here. That'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us, for keeping us company the whole week this week. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.